team.
Thank you again for coming out tonight. Thanks again to Hot Talks for having us.
It's absolutely our pleasure. Congratulations. I'm going to kick off the questions by asking you guys, how in the world did you decide which performances and songs to select for the film?
We shot a lot more, obviously, than what's in the film, but we tried to structure it like a set list. I mean, it's hard to get people through an hour and a half of anything, much less a concert film. So we tried to structure it more like the way Jeff would write a set list, or they would write a set list, and have diversify the set a little bit at the beginning, and then, you know, it's basically the way we follow his set list a little bit. And then we tried to break it up with the interstitial pretty scenic shots, just to let everybody's ears calm down a little bit.
It's a question.
I'm sorry, this is a large crowd for us, so bear with us. It's like playing the Coliseum.
Just pretend it's your living room. Anyone on the couch want to answer a question or ask a question?
Awesome. Okay, well. DVD actually just came out, and it's actually available
next door.
So it came out at independent record stores across the U.S. a couple weeks ago. Get to give them a leg up in a couple weeks, and then it just came out. It's got a bunch of extras. It's got a lot of footage from the Ryman and all these other shows. Things that we couldn't include just because of length that we spoke about.
Yeah,
there's someone
here.
How did you become connected to the band?
This is our third Wilco project. And we met them.
What?
How did we get connected to the band? We met them in our Burr to Shine project. We do this film project where we film bands in a town. And in a house, but then the house is torn or burned down. And so we played in our Chicago edition, and we sort of got to know them through that.
Yeah, we sent on the individual clip that we had done with them to Nels, and then since then we did a thing called Sunken Treasure, which is Jeff Tweedy in the Pacific Northwest. It's sort of a similar sort of thing, but it's all him acoustic. And then we worked on their last record doing. Interviews and things that got released with their record, actually. And this is the first one where we've actually had, there was enough trust built up that they had the budget to bring us out with 8 cameras and, 52 channels of Pro Tools and everything, and do the whole thing. It was a really awesome 10 days.
Stop Making Sense.
Yeah, I agree. Stop Making Sense. And seeing Stop Making Sense in the theater was really influential to both of us. And the idea that we could actually make something that we could show in a theater and utilize a big screen and the sound system is, and this is a real treat for us.
We were really influenced by this Sigur Rós film called Haima, which we all watched a lot before he made this. It's sort of a film about the Icelandic band all over Iceland, and we really were very influenced by that film.
Have you seen that film?
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's amazing, amazing, beautiful film.
Just out of curiosity, how long will it last? Because I know you wouldn't be on the stage, but man, you're quite intimidated.
We always use one super long sports lens that we always try to get way in the back so you can get that perspective. So we just brought another one out with us with Death Cab. We always try to get one super long lens.
But it's hard, people start dancing and that kind of fucks the whole thing up. Only in limited doses can you use it, otherwise it's a necessity. You want that. right in your face shot, definitely.
How did trying to break your heart affect what you did, or at all, if it did?
The question was, how did trying to break your heart, how did it inform this movie, or what, you know? Basically, my feeling about that movie is if I was going to make a movie about a band, I would not choose to film them in a recording environment, because I've been in a band and it's a hothouse. It's like filming, you know, it's like Das Boot or something. You know, you're in there. And everybody's pissed at everybody else all the time. You know, you're trying to make these lightning fast decisions and it's just not easy. And so that's what I felt about that. It was not in the most flattering environment. But it was also like, you know, this is a little bit different. I mean, I really want the music to be in the band, and that unity that I see with these guys, and the way that they're presenting these old songs, these old Wilco songs and the new Wilco songs. That's something as a fan that I want to show to you. You know, the thing that I get from seeing them is, you know, Nels and everybody making room for each other, and the love and the respect that I see from them on stage, but also just the skill level and the fact that they really are out there sweating and working, but also, you know, becoming this like unit that you know, makes them to me the greatest live band on the planet, honestly. So that's been the main thing for me.
Yeah, I think we're setting up to make a very different thing. It's about music as opposed to about the story around music. So we just really wanted to document music more than anything else. And then the in-between parts are more to give the music context. So I think once you see like Nels to his back, you feel differently when you watch him play.
And also like then the dialogue like before the rhyme, and you know, just them talking about you know, talking about their relationship with traditional music and traditional people like Hank Williams and that, and hopefully that informs the way you listen to a song like Be a Chicago, you know, and all of that is like this premise that like they are ultimately a traditional band. They love the roots of you know, American music, but they are also, like all of us who are musicians, they want to hold what they love dear, and but also take it further. And I think they're really doing that successfully, and that's what makes them interesting to me.
Yeah, yes.
Who do you think is the most talented musician
in the band? Who's the most talented? Oh, come on, man. Okay, Nels. I mean, Nels is just, he's beyond to me. I mean, it's really, I couldn't call it the Nels Klein movie, but. It's, you know, he's to me, I've known that guy now, he used to open for Fugazi back in LA and the Geraldine Fibbers and his solo thing. So when he finally joined the band after Ghost Is Born, which sounded like he was on it, but he wasn't, and they started, then I was like, oh, this is so perfect. And, you know, it's really like a dream come true to me to have him in the band. But Glenn is a close second. I'm sorry to be geeking out. I know it sounds like I'm the biggest Wilco fan on the planet, but it's only because I am.
Yes, in the back there?
Was there any footage that the band wanted you to cut out?
We got a request to cut Ralph's nipple, but we couldn't do it, so we thought about blurring it out for a while.
There was also one little scene where they had we had a couple drunk fans from New Orleans who were awesome. And they were like, I don't know, if you had some non-drunk fans, maybe it wouldn't make our fans look so drunk. Okay, that's about it. The nipple and the two drunk fans. All told about 20 seconds worth of footage.
Yeah, they really just kind of let us do whatever we wanted to do. There was really no, it's besides the nipple and the drunk film. There's no actual control really at all.
Yes.
In terms of the lifespan of the project, how long was the development phase? And can you say something about the financing?
So how long was the development phase of the film, and can you comment on financing?
There was a long period of time where we were trying to work with them and trying to figure out what kind of project to do. Like, should we film them in Australia? Should we film them, and we're just like looking at their tour schedule and saying, what would be a great sequence of shows to do? And then finally it was like, there's no perfect way to do this. And we, let's keep it in America. And then we started coming up with the idea, because the Burn to Shine series that we do is very focused on architecture. At the time when we were doing it, there was, during the real estate boom, like things were being torn down all around us, and we were losing all sorts of interesting buildings, even the most mundane little houses that we loved in our neighborhoods. How it started, really, that series, was because there was this house that this old lady lived in, and we loved it. It was being torn down, and we wanted to somehow honor it by documenting it, and just by documenting the small details of it, and basically we can't save housing, and we can't save the funkier parts of the American South, and we can't save Kane's Ballroom, and we can't save the Tipitinas, but we can try to preserve it, and so that by filming it. And that's all we can do. And same with the band and this sort of ultimately tenuous relationship that musicians have with each other. You really just really try to, when something's in front of you that you love, you try to film it while you can. So that was how it took us into this, let's document buildings. Let's document, what are our favorite buildings? And then it took us to Keynes, and it took us to Tipitinas and the Ryman and all that. And we came up with a schedule. And they actually booked the show around the film. They booked the shows into that. And so, it actually took, in terms of figuring out a plan of action, it took about a year before we could actually do it. But once it was done, the way we do it is we gather an army and we just attack it. I mean, we have our crew, we trust our crew and our film, the shooters, and we all just attack the problem. And 10 days later, we have a lot of footage.
I think our pre-production was all of like 2 weeks once they actually picked up the days.
Right? Yeah,
I think so.
Once it was done,
we actually shoot music stuff a lot, so we have this group and we just kind of pulled the trigger.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of planning about the week, that's true. You just have to go with what's out there at the time.
Well, I have time for one last question.
It better be good.
Make it good.
I love you. Well, the financing was actually, the way it worked was because Wilco wanted us to have latitude over whatever we wanted to do. They funded it, and then they sold it to Nonesuch Records, and it came out on Nonesuch Warner Brothers. And basically, we're like, to the project, we're like a member of the band, basically. It's not really a film world kind of way to do things, but it is a rock and roll way to do things. Cool. Thank you so much for coming out.